You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action coming up on Tuesday, the 19th of March. And you can join us on Racing Radio throughout the afternoon for all the day's action. Listen, of course, on the William Hill website or on the app. But here on the podcast, my name's John Kibbe. Gary Katewell is with me. Hello, Gary. How are you?
Hello, I'm very good. Thank you, yourself.
Yes, good. Thank you. Did you enjoy Cheltenham?
I did. Busy week as per normal. It was a good week, and we had some interesting stories, as is the norm. There's always some good quality racing too.
Well, before we hear your selections for tomorrow, we are going to get stuck into that a little bit more now, looking back at Cheltenham, with the Monday Jury and the Racing Post every Tuesday on the podcast, recorded on Monday. Of course, we look back at the questions that are being asked by the trade paper in the Monday Jury and put them to our pundit. So we'll start off with this one. I think this is a really nice question as well. You're gifted a horse who ran last week. Who would you take home?
Well, it depends what you mean by gifted and what purpose I want to have with the horse when I take him home, I suppose. But
are you worried about the trading fees?
I'd be worried about the horse's back more than anything else. I think, and this is an answer that I see a couple of people have actually given on the Monday Jury as well, the answer for me would be top of the game. It's just a gorgeous looking horse. He's a proper old school sort of horse, really, as well. And he's a good looker, and he's just got that size and scope about him. You think, well, he'd be able to take my weight, perhaps. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to seeing how he progresses next year. But I think, well, we're going to touch on this a little bit later, but I think that was a very good RSA chase. But in terms of taking a horse home, it would have to be top of the game.
Well, the next question is which of the novices do you think could be winning next year's festival? Obviously, you think top of the game might do.
Well, top of the game, but if I was to have a bet now, anti-post for the Gold Cup, it wouldn't actually be top of the game. It would be the horse who finished, third in the end, Delta Work, who just had a momentary sort. He travelled equally as well as top of the game, had a momentary lapse of being outpaced before running on again, and he was closing all the way to the line. I think the 3.25 miles, the extra distance will definitely suit this horse. And you've got the added bonus of, did all of the Gordon Elliott horses run completely to form? I must admit, I still have some doubts for all that he was almost top trainer. I think he's an obvious one. I thought the Arkle winner was very impressive as well. For all that race kind of fell apart a little bit. It certainly wasn't his fault. I think there'd be more races to be run with him. Duc de Genevra, you might have to check the 100% the pronunciation of that.
I would go with that. Duc de Genevra.
But he is a horse that, again, I'm looking forward to seeing step up into open Grade 1 company next year. But, in terms of for next year, Delta Work, for me, if I was going to have an anti-post bet for the Gold Cup, he would be the horse that I pick at this stage.
Okay, and in the more immediate future, give us a horse that you think can make him enter Aintree or Punchestown.
Well, again, this is a very obvious one, and Paul Nolan touches on it as well. Benny Desjeux had the Mayor's Hurdle in safekeeping on her first run for, a year? Or almost a year, anyway, when she unfortunately came down at the last. And I don't think she'll go to Aintree, but, you know, she'll be heading to Punchestown, and the Grade 1 Mayor's race that is run there will be her sort of bag. And I was disappointed to see what happened to her, but I think she's very much a horse to keep on the right side of, and she'll be winning these type of races. I think these are the kind of races that she's going to be running in for quite some time. So
if previous form's anything to go by, she's going to win the Champion Hurdle next year, of course.
Well, yes, it'd be interesting to see how she's campaigned, really. We'll see what happens at Punchestown first, but she very much appeals as a horse that could end up going down that route.
Next question. What about a future winner or two? Or they're pushing your hair, Gary. From the handicaps.
Yeah, there are two that sort of stick out for me. One is The Clock Is Ticking, who finished sixth in the attempts, beating sort of maybe eight or nine lengths in the end, and finished to really good effect. And in the same race, the horse who finished just behind The Clock Is Ticking, he was having his first run for a good while, I think it was about 3 months since he'd last run, was Themistocles, who I'm not sure quite got home, but just a little bit keen. And I don't think that was a help. But travelled quite well through the race, maybe didn't quite get home. So coming back down in trip, or maybe that run was just taking a bit of buzziness out of the horse, I think he would be one to put in the tracker as well. So the clock, two from the same race, The Clock Is Ticking and Themistocles, who were sixth and seventh respectively in the per temps final.
And what were your training and riding performances of the week is the next question in the Monday Jury.
And again, both these have been mentioned. Gavin Cromwell, for me, the placing of Espoir d'Allen after what happened to him last year has been superb this campaign. I know the horse is obviously improving. We could debate all day about some of the horses that also ran in the Champion Hurdle that A, didn't complete, or B, might have run a little bit, or definitely ran below form. But, you know, five-year-olds don't win Champion Hurdles. Obviously, Catchit's the last horse in the last 20 years to have done so. So Espoir d'Allen was definitely the training performance of the week for me. The riding performance is tough. I thought the Thursday was the day for those. I thought Barry Geraghty was brilliant on Defi de Soy when he won the JLT. There was a horse, I think it was the Kim Bailey horse, Vindication, was making mistakes on his inside and he always kept getting in behind him. I think it was the Open Ditch, the first of the Open Ditches. He asked him for a big leap to force him through a gap to get in front of that horse, which he did. But then it wasn't just that as well. It was more so that he had the confidence to take a pull on the way coming down the hill and not get to the front too soon or get involved in too much of a battle with Lost in Translation.
Considering what had happened before.
Exactly, and there was another horse with them. I can't remember the other horse that was with them, but he just sat in behind with Defi de Soy. The other horse was Bengley Calm, wasn't it? Off the home bend, and he led coming up the hill. He was driven strongly out, and I thought just it was vintage Geraghty, and it was a very good ride. So that performance, and I thought Lizzie Kelly was brilliant. I know Lizzie Kelly and Bryony Frost were both brilliant on their respective winners on that day as well. Frodon obviously for Bryony, and you know, a lot's been written and said about that. But I thought Lizzie gave Cyril de Luc a very good ride as well. Very positive, because for the same reasons with Bryony, there were horses that wanted to take her on out in front, and she had to be aggressive. We know that that particular track for chasers is actually a very good track for front runners. But even still, both of them had willing partners, but both of them were very, very brave in their decision-making at certain fences. So, tough one for the best ride. I respect the rides that both Lizzie and Bryony gave their respective mounts. I'd just edge it to Barry, though, with Defi de Soy in the JLT.
I'm going to change this last question a little bit, because few people have been boring is the only way to describe
well,
it.
My saying answer would not be me. Nothing.
Right, okay, right. I'm going to change it, Gary. You have to make one change to the first all. What would it be? Don't say get rid of the cross country.
No. I'm actually a fan of the cross country. I like that race. It, for me, that sort of takes us back to the original roots of steeplechasing a little bit, if you like, really. I suppose it's only a matter of time before we get another mare's race, with the way that the breeding and the changes in the mare's series. I should imagine it's only a matter of time. I know that they have the mare's day in April, don't they? The second day of the meeting at their final meeting of the year at or season at Cheltenham. But I suppose it's only a matter of time before we get a mare's chase. And I think Henry Daly's mentioned that as well. But if we're going to continue to get that horse population and the decent mares continuing to race, we need these races. And also, it's only going to help further down the line in terms of the population, horse population, and the quality of the horse population as well. So I should imagine a mare's chase is going to be forthcoming sooner rather than later.
And except for some of the dual-purpose mares who run in the mare's hurdle, with a mare's chase, I don't think you dilute the quality too much in terms of the big chases, because how many mares run in the Gold Cup or the Champion Chase?
No, exactly. And I know, obviously, they do have certain finals, don't they? But I think they're at Newbury maybe this weekend. One of them used to be at Utoxeter, but I think they shifted that to Newbury as well. But like I say, it's probably only a matter of time before we get those type of races, because we're going to get better horses coming through the system anyway. So there's going to be a place for those mares, for these races. I know bookmakers will perhaps moan that they're always not the most competitive, but in terms of the good of the industry, in terms of the horses long term, then that has to be forthcoming, I think.
Okay, well, that was the Monday jury. Now let's turn our attention to the racing that's coming up on Tuesday. And we've got three afternoon meetings here in the UK to look forward to. Gary, you, as always on the podcast, have got two selections for us. Which is going to be the first?
Yeah, we're going to go to Wetherby for the opening one, which is a Class 2 contest. Good prize money. Shame there's not more runners, really. Only six runners go to post for that 3-15 contest. But an interesting six, nonetheless. The horse that I like here is the Kim Bailey trained runner, Manella Warrior. I'll touch on a couple of the others first. Isaacstown Lad, the 12-year-old, was the winner last time out at Carlisle. He actually finished fourth in this corresponding race last year. Isaacstown Lad looks as though he's perhaps been campaigned with this race in mind again. No, the score finished third last time out. Goes into handicap company for the first time. He's quite interesting with the cheap pieces on for the first time as well. And Skip the Scales down at the bottom is a horse who's obviously won here before, but was a bit disappointing last time out. But to me, I'd be disappointed if Manello Warrior's not up to this. I mean, you just look at the horse's his form. Obviously, he's been in good nick. He won a couple of times already this season, and he only just went down in that Potemps qualifier at Huntingdon last time out behind Not Many Left, who wasn't beaten far, was third in the Potemps final, beaten, just over a length and a half in the end. So that form's got a sort of fairly solid look to it. So Manella Warrior will be the opening selection. Top weight to shoulder, but I think he's capable of doing that in the 3:15. And for the second selection, we're going to go for a long-distance chase at Taunton. They love having these long-distance chases at Taunton. We've got one over 3.5 miles.
Didn't they used to have one over like further than 4 miles at Taunton? They got rid of it.
They might have had a 4 mile or maybe just shy of that. I think they had one last week over this sort of distance. But anyway, unfortunately, only five have turned up for this year's renewal, which is a bit of a shame. But anyway, decent prize money. Due off at 4:30. And Like the Sound is a horse that I'm quite interested in. Obviously, he's got top weight to shoulder. He's just going to have to jump a little bit better. He's obviously been slightly disappointing the last twice. He hasn't managed to get round. But prior to that, he was a horse who'd been in fair form, winning Getwin Canton over these marathon types of trips. Obviously, he unseated his rider here just last week, but they hadn't gone very far, so far too far out to suggest what might have happened. Von Gough du Grany is another horse who's been in good form over in Otoy, but those victories have come over much shorter, so it'll be interesting to see how he gets on his British debut stepping up in trip. Pobbles Bay is another horse who's got plenty of letters next to his name rather than numbers. He too fell in the race which Like the Sound ran in last week. He got a little bit further. He got to the ninth. I think he's well treated as well, albeit he doesn't win very often. His last victory came on Welsh Grand National Day, 3 years ago now. So the selection for this race is going to be Dancing Shadow, who's a regular in these type of events. He was fourth at Wincanton in the Somerset National on his penultimate outing, and was then second behind Dawson City in the Devon National back in February. So we know that this horse stays. And again, he's now dropped back below his last winning mark as well, so which actually came at Exeter on soft ground not that long ago, anyway. But soft conditions, he stays all day, so I will go for Dancing Shadow to take out that 4:30.
Gary, thanks very much for being with us on the podcast today. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time here on the Daily Racing Podcast. And make sure you join us tomorrow on Tuesday for William Hill Racing Radio live throughout the afternoon. We've got action from Wetherby, we've got Huntingdon, and we've got Taunton. It all gets underway from 1:50 p.m. And it's available to listen to online or via the William Hill app.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.